بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, we continue with a few more of these anecdotes of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, and then we'll mention some other mashayikh's anecdotes so that we understand how to make our islah and spiritually cleanse our souls and learn from their advices and seek some guidance to purify our souls and get some type of direction to reach our destination. In this particular anecdote, Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullahi Ali used to like many times to rhyme things, and he would use a lot of pun. So here he says, almost everyone is complaining about something or the other. People complain about depression, recession, dissension, suppression, oppression, haram obsession, not being able to get a job in their profession, and some may even complain of low compression in their car engines, but we are not considering and undertaking the route of progression, which is confession before Allah Ta'ala of our sins and failings, sincere tawbah, and to follow through with obedience to Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This will grant us special intercession, and inshallah place us in the line of succession to be Jannati. Subhanallah. It might be mashallah rhyming and pun, but there's great, great lessons behind each one of these words. Almost everyone is complaining about something or that. All of us find this throughout the world. Somebody, we have got certain problems and sorrows and worries and grief, and we are complaining. So people complain about depression. Very common. Many people, doctors will understand. They have patients all the time. People come to the ulama, just feeling very depressed, can't get my sleep, can't concentrate in school, can't concentrate at work. Recession, find everywhere Allah Ta'ala remove the recession. Dissension, suppression, oppression, haram obsession. This also very common. The person says, I'm glued to this haram. And I just cannot remove this obsession I have with this woman or this haram deed. Many people complain, they've got no, they can't find a job. How many of them have done IT, or they have become accountants, become engineers? They can't find a suitable job in their profession. And of course, as Mullah says, we complain about compression in the car engines. But the real root of progression, taraqqi, how do we reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We're living in this world, and we're becoming, suffering from this obsession, we're becoming consumed by dunya. We are missing our route towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the very first step a person takes towards changing his life is making sincere tawbah. We have to make confession to Allah Rabbul Izzah. This is called iqrar of your dhunub. And the other day I mentioned in one of the dhikr majlis, Sayyidul Istighfar. The leader, the Sayyid of all istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. But there's one particular istighfar which we mentioned, Allahumma anta Rabbi. لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي. These two words. I acknowledge all your favors upon me. Allah, every ni'mat that you have given me and I'm enjoying is only from you. وأبوء بذنبي. The word أبوء comes here. وأبوء بذنبي. And oh Allah, I confess all my sins. I confess that all the things I have done wrong, I confess my weaknesses, my sins, my vice, my evil. So this is what is required. We have to confess to Allah Rabbul Izzah. Ya Allah, maine bahut guna ki. Ya Allah, I made too much gunas. Bahut guna kiya. Wallah, I want to change, I want to make tawbah. So Hazrat Maulana says, so we have to make confession of our sins and our failings. Sincere tawbah, sincere tawbah. This is the bottom line of real, real Islam. When a person makes sincere tawbah, this despite the type of sin he may have made in his life. Of course, the only sin Allah does not forgive is shirk with Allah. If a person associates partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he believes in Allah, but he believes in other gods. Of course, if you bring iman and have proper tawheed, then that's also forgiven. But we're talking about all other sins. The person made zina, he committed this, that, whatever it may be. Of course, when it comes to rights of people, you give them back the rights, the due. But otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to forgive you completely as though you did not even commit that sin. Completely, the black spots that had gathered, it's completely obliterated. أَتَّائِبُ مِنَ ذَنْبِكَ مَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. A person who sincerely makes tawbah, in which he feels the pain, the regret. How could I have done such a terrible thing? Immediately he broke away from the sin, he refrains from the sin, and now he makes a pledge to Allah Rabbul Izzat, he won't go back to the sin. This is called tawbah al-nasuha. This is a tawbah which is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he makes the sincere tawbah, this, whatever sin he may have committed. And when this happens, now the person is turning to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah is going to purify him. Allah is going to guide him. Allah is going to assist him. So how do you follow? Now you do what Allah has instructed you to do. His obedience to Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first step is what? Tawbah. Tawbah, istighfar. We wash away ourselves. Now, second step, O Allah, what have you commanded me? So I normally tell the brothers, let's start with salah first. Start with salah. This is the pillar of deen. You made sincere tawbah, you want to change your life, obviously your beard not going to grow overnight. Sharia is not expecting you to wear kurta whole day now. No. Sharia is not telling you hold a tasbih and make zikr whole day, you mustn't do anything. No, you're going to carry on with your life, but now you're going to make your life enjoyable in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person now he makes this change in his life, he's now going to take a few small steps, and then Allah will give him the tawfiq of making bigger steps. So after tawbah, you're going to try to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The very first thing now, you read your salah. The men folk in the masjid. So fajr salah, you're going to make sure you're in the masjid. And then immediately, how many a person, when he changed his life, he just listened to this, and he started establishing his salah. So he started coming for his fajr salah, he found some type of enjoyment in the heart, which he could never find before when he should miss his salah. And there may be sometimes shaitan and waswasa, it's too cold today, it's raining, you were very sick last night, you came from a long journey, so you can just take a break, one more day. No. He fights all that. So that mujahada will continue. Person has to go against that demands of the nafs and shaitan. But he starts his salah. He'll find some sukoon. He'll find some enjoyment, some happiness. So once he establishes his salah, he must make sure now the other thing, for example, zakat. And of course, the qadha of the salat of the past, so many years. It looked like so many years. How am I ever going to fulfill the qadha? I promise you, there have been not one, but hundreds of people who had missed like almost 20 years of the salah or even more. From the time they became baligh, maybe now and then they read salah or even more. But once they started in the free time, reading one salah, over a period of years, they completed all the salah of their past. So in any case, a person needs guidance. You have to go to the right people, the mashayikh, ulama will guide you. Okay, do this, don't do this. Don't jump too fast now. Otherwise, what's going to happen? You're going to try, you're going to exert yourself, and then you're going to fall down, you become very tired, and you say, no, I can't do it. So gradually, always, Allah Ta'ala is so kind, teaches you to reach Him in a gradual manner. So sincere tawbah, now we begin obedience in our life, following Rasulullah. So, believe in the sunnah, there is so much of beauty, so much of beauty. In every aspect of the life of Rasulullah, the way he spoke, the way he dealt, the way he ate, the way he relieved himself, the way he conducted himself with his wife, with his children, with his neighbors, with his friends, with his sahaba, with his companions, with the kings, with the poor people, with the slave girl. Imagine a slave girl would catch hold of the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't disdain that. He didn't say, no, she's a slave girl, and I'm the Nabi of Allah, I'm the greatest Nabi of Allah. Never. He lived amongst the poor. Ibghuni fi du'afa. Rasulullah said, search me amongst the poor people. Yes, there are times he met the rich people also. He met the rulers. He met different delegations. He had time and place for every single person. Imagine those children, little children. After coming from a long journey, from going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes they will go for weeks. And then the person is tired, he wants to go home first thing. Go back to his family, he's hungry, he wants to have a hot shower, he wants good meals. Rasulullah is coming back, and he still finds time for who? For the children who lived in Madinah Munawwara, who would wait for Rasulullah's arrival, so that they may jump on his camel, and they may sit with him, and he will give them a ride to Madinah. Anyone of us would say, no, leave him alone, don't disturb them. Rasulullah would look forward to seeing these children and give them a ride on his camel back. So he had time for everything. It's a sunnah. There is such beauty in the sunnah. Inshallah, if we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I say, this will grant us special intercession. That is the shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always in the dua, oh Allah, grant us the shafa'at. Shafa'a is an Arabic word. In Urdu, sifarish. English, intercession. On the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede on behalf of his ummah. Rasulullah was once traveling and he came by a place called Azwara, that is before Medina, or between Makkah and Medina, Azwara. And Sahaba saw him doing something very, very unusual, which he never did do before. Mounted on his camel, then suddenly he descends and he goes into sajda, and then he raises his head, and after a little while again the same thing happens. And after a while, the same thing happens again. Three times he does this. The Sahaba then inquired, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? We found this very strange that you were traveling and then you got off and you made sajda. He said, whilst I was traveling, I thought again about the plight of my ummah on the day of Qiyamah. What is going to happen to my ummah? So I made dua to Allah. So he had raised his hands and he made dua to Allah. Give me the opportunity, grant me the opportunity to intercede on behalf of my ummah to be safe from the fire of Jahannam. He's traveling. He must have had so much of other thoughts and so much of other worries and concerns. But at that moment also, Ya Allah, give me the opportunity of making intercession, shafa'at, on behalf of my entire ummah on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed 1/3 of the ummah's intercession to be made. So he allowed Rasulullah to say, 1/3 of your ummah, I will accept your intercession on the day of Qiyamah on behalf of them. On this, Rasulullah expressed his happiness and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he went down into sajda. And he made sajda of shukr to Allah. Oh Allah, shukr to you. You gave me this. But that was not the end. Then he went back onto his camel. And again, what about the rest of my ummah? Oh Allah, my ummah, the remaining of my ummah, give me the chance to intercede on their behalf. After some time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him that another 1/3 of your ummah, you will also be given the chance to intercede on their behalf. On this, Rasulullah expressed his shukr and he went into sajda. And then again he made dua for the last 1/3. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that as well. So Rasulullah will intercede on our behalf. And I mentioned the other night also, extremely, extremely, extremely important, which many of us become ghafil completely, completely in most masajid. Allah forgive us. Let us try our masjid especially. Let us try first and become an example. That is all. Adhan time, everybody must be absolutely still, silent. Give jawab to the adhan, to the muadhin. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So we say silently, softly, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Give jawab to the whole adhan. Immediately after that, the hadithis recite durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the muadhin gives the adhan. Qulu mithla ma qala al-muadhin is the word of Rasulullah. Say like what the muadhin has said. Yes, in some other riwayat it is mentioned when he says Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah, you say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Nonetheless, you reply to the adhan of the muazzin. So to do that, we can't be chatting and talking and the wuzu khana making such a big noise. People complain, people have written to me, a brother wrote to me anonymous, I don't know who it is. Please speak about these things. Adab of the masjid. People are coming here and making, sometimes this is zarur. Honestly, many people will ask me some important mas'ala immediately after salah. So many times we take them in the back or out of the masjid. Or sometimes suddenly somebody needs to meet you, so you say, okay, meet me after salah. These things happen in making salah musafa, but you don't sit now and gossip and make a noise and you make a din in the masjid. This is the place of ibadah. It should be silence. And especially the time of adhan. Imagine if our masjid would come and people, and everybody is silent. Nobody is making a noise. Like how iftar time, Ramadan, everybody is quite busy eating. Nobody is talking that time. Everybody is quiet. You give jawab to the adhan, then you read durood upon Nabi Kareem. So after that, Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma was-salati al-qa'ima ati Muhammadan al-wasila wal-fadila wa ba'athu maqaman mahmud alladhi wa'adtah innaka la tukhlifu al-mi'at. This is the dua after Azan. Learn it inshallah. We have learned it in childhood days. If you forgot it, try and remember it again. Learn it inshallah. So whoever read durood and then this dua after Azan, Rasulullah said halat lahu shafa'ati. The word halat means wajibat. My intercession on behalf of this person becomes wajib, compulsory. Rasul says, I will 100% intercede on his behalf on the day of Qiyamah. So even a woman folk at home, hearing the azan to the masjid, even via the receiver, be silent at that time. Be silent. Haji Bhai Patiya Rahmatullah Ali used to be very particular about this. This is the thing we need to inculcate. Imagine everybody is still. So any person who comes from outside, he sees this masjid, everybody is still. All giving jawab to the adhan. Like how salah time. Everybody is quiet, silent. So inshallah we will try and do this inshallah. And pass it on to others. Even at workplaces, wherever it is. If somebody, after adhan I speak to, finish. Unless it's something emergency, somebody needs to come out or something. There's a different story. Or somebody needs to go to the toilet, he's new, there's no way. Now you're not talking to him. In any case, what is necessary is something else. But let's try and inculcate myself, all of us. Sometimes we become negligent about this. But look at this. Look at the reward. حَلَّتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَةِ intercession. So, Hazrat Mawlana says, this will grant a special intercession. And inshallah, place us in the line of succession to be a jannati. So if you obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after making sincere tawbah, وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ وَيَخْشَى اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقِي فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Whoever obeys Allah, he obeys Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيَخْشَى اللَّهَ, he feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding his past, he made sincere tawbah. وَيَتَّقِي, and regarding his future, he is very, very careful, very cautious. Now I mustn't make the same blunder. I mustn't go back to the same mistake. He's walking very, very carefully. Such people, Allah says in Surah An-Nur, verse number 52, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Such people are the ones who are successful. Exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal inshaAllah. These are simple anecdotes, but there's so much of meaning. In fact, we can go on and on. But alhamdulillah, we've heard Mawlana, and this is this very gist of the different mayans he used to give. This was some of the malfuzat he mentioned. Another very simple one, express gratitude on good deeds and make dua for an increase in them. Express gratitude, shukr, on good deeds. Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq of reading your Isha Salat. Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq of being for Umrah or Hajj or keeping some Nafil Roza or doing some charitable work, seeing to some poor, some needy, or you assisted some person, you helped some person, whatever it was. Now you make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Wallah, you gave me the tawfiq. Because Allah promises in the Quran, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. This, if you make true shukr, Allah says, we will certainly increase you in the ni'mat. Now this doesn't only pertain to wealth, mashallah, you did good sales today, shukr. Of course, you make shukr for that, but over and above that, shukr for a good deed Allah gave you a tawfiq of doing. We don't think about that. You are able to do something good, you read the Hajj Salat. Immediately, ya Allah, I'm making shukr to you. If you're going to make shukr, Allah will give you an increase in that ni'mat, and you will be able to continue in that way. So whatever good deeds we do, then, as it says, express shukr and make dua for an increase in them. Wallah, you give me more tawfiq. Ya Allah, you give me more tawfiq. Regarding shukr, the importance of shukr, we have heard on many occasions, many, many bayans. Just to recap some important points that sometimes we forget. Of course, Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas are beshumar. Beshumar, you can't count them. They're in the countless. If you start, take a book and take a pen today and try, you'll get exhausted. Just look at yourself, start from your head. The aqal Allah has given you, the eyes, the limbs, the ability to do this, that, so many things. The air we breathe in, the food that we enjoy, everything in this world. So all these are ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa in ta'uddu ni'mat Allah la tuhsuha. If you try and count every ni'mat of Allah, you'll not be able to enumerate all of them. Rasulullah SAW, despite being ma'soom, he was such a grateful abdan shakura. He was such a servant, a grateful servant unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one way of expressing his gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would exert himself in long, long salat, nafil salat at night, and long sujood. Long sujood. It's Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala then tells Rasulullah SAW, why are you exerting yourself in this way? When Allah has forgiven you all your sins, you committed no sins, you're ma'asum. Even if a person had a nabi, had to make a small, not even a sin, and in judgment also, that too is pardoned. Completely sinless. So why do you have to exert yourself to sin? What does Rasulullah says? أَفَلَا كُنُوا عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. And when Allah has been so kind to me, Allah has given me so much, why should I not be a grateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So here again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot count His bounties. There are many bounties that you and I perceive. We understand this is a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is easy to make shukr on that. But there are so many bounties which you and I don't even perceive. We don't even realize that this is a bounty until that bounty is taken away from us. Simple, in the month of Ramadan, which we have ta'aleem, we mentioned, the ability to urinate, to relieve ourselves. Day and night we go. How many times a day a person goes to the toilet? Does it ever cross our mind at that time that this is such a great ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah ta'ala causes a blockage in the urine, and suddenly the person is unable to relieve himself, the pain, the excruciating pain he cannot bear. He just wishes he's able to pass out or to pass urine easily. So such a great ni'mat which we take for granted. We don't even realize. That is why the person follows the masnoon du'as of Rasulullah SAW. Masnoon du'as. When you come out of the toilet, غفرانك الحمد لله الذي أذهب عني الأذى وعافاني. Praise be to Allah who removed from me the dirt, the filth. See the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah has got such, when we're eating food, then the digestive system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that the good of the food that is required for our nourishment and our energy, that remains within us, turns into blood and energy, and what is not going to be good for us comes out as waste. And Allah has created the passage for it. Imagine if all had to. Person has got a blockage in the stomach. He has to go for a procedure or operation or take this medication. But the normal way, Allah has kept such a beautiful system. So this is such a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ability to urinate. The ability to see. We are seeing all the time. We are hearing. Let's be honest to ourselves. When last did we make shukr to Allah ta'ala for the sight that He has given us? Did we ever make shukr to Allah ta'ala? I'm able to hear. I'm able to speak. I'm able to write. I'm able to walk. I'm able to do so many things every single day. So much of shukr we have to make, and so much of shukr. In fact, even the shukr we make is not even going to be kamil and complete and perfect. There will be shortcomings in the shukr we are making. And the amount of shukr also is not going to be sufficient. Allah says Himself, وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. My servants haven't truly appreciated me. But Allah is so kind. Rasulullah has showed us a beautiful dua, simple dua, which alhamdulillah we have mentioned before. In the morning, after Fajr Salah, or in the morning, all we got to read is the following dua, genuinely, sincerely. Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'matin aw bi ahadin min khalqik, faminka wahdaka la sharika lak falaka alhamdu wa laka shukr. English. Wallah, this morning, whatever bounty I'm enjoying, or any one of your creation, those bounties are only from you, Allah. Wahdak. La sharika lak. You would know partners whatsoever. Falaka alhamdu wa laka shukr. All praise, all shukr, gratitude belongs only to you, Allah. So you don't know the Arabic? Say the English. But learn Arabic, inshallah. It's not difficult. Practice or take the page out. Or say the English, inshallah. Oh Allah, ma asbaha bi min ni'mat. This morning, whatever ni'mat I am enjoying or any of your makhluk is enjoying, your creation, ya Allah, the bounty is only from you. You got no partners. All praise belongs to you. All gratitude to you. The hadith of Rasulullah, فَقَدْ أَدَّى شُكْرَ يَوْمِهِ. You have read this? That Allah, Rasulullah says that you have fulfilled the shukr of the day. You have fulfilled the shukr of the day to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a great thing. So many bounties Allah has given us. Just read this dua. And of course, in a hadith of Rasulullah, we mentioned, I think, previously also, that we have 360 joints in our body. And on each joint, one sadaqah becomes compulsory. So the joint on our finger, you have to give one sadaqah. So 360 joints. So Rasulullah explained, you can read tasbih. فَكُلُّ تَسْبِيحَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلُّ تَحْمِيدَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلُّ تَكْبِيرَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلُّ تَهْلِيلَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ. You say, Subhanallah, one sadaqah. So if you read it 360 times, you fulfill all the sadaqah, which was compulsory upon you for every joint that you had. Or you can say 360 times, Alhamdulillah, oh Allahu Akbar, oh La ilaha illallah, oh Amrun bima'rufin, oh Nahyun an munkar, oh you command somebody, oh you tell somebody about some good thing in deen, you direct him, you advise him, or you stop him from something wrong. This also is sadaqah. Another narration, you assist somebody to mount on his conveyance, you help him with his luggage, it's also sadaqah. Kalimatun tayyiba is sadaqah. Some kind word, you lifted the spirits of somebody who was all down and forlorn, and you gave him some kind word, that's also sadaqah. And the hadith of Rasulullah says, you know, وَيُجْزِئُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ رَكْعَتَانِ مِنَ الدُّحَىٰ. If you don't read 360 times Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa La Ilaha Illallah, or do any of the things that I mentioned, all you do is at the time of chast, which is plus minus 10 o'clock onwards. 10 o'clock, half past 10, 11 o'clock, half past 11. Salatul Duha, Duha is the Arabic one. In Urdu we say chast namaz. You read only two rakats at that time, then you have fulfilled the sadaqah which was compulsory upon your 360 joints. You don't even read all the other things, you don't even see. All you read is charge time. MashaAllah, you've got factories, you've got offices, you've got warehouses, you've got in school, you've got break time, in varsity. Make wudu, two rakats, inshallah. All these things, inshallah, we'll find so much of benefit in it, so much. What does these things do? It makes us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You got a problem, after that we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you please Allah ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala is going to please you also. Allah is going to make you happy also. All the time. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not asking, giving big amal to do and heavy wazaif. Nothing. So simple. Two rakat salatul duha. May Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, all of us tawfiq, inshallah, to make amal. So regarding the shukr, this is the dua that we mentioned. Also after eating, there's so many duas after eating, but just one simple one. الحمد لله الذي هو أشبعنا وأنعم علينا وأفضل. All praise be to Allah Ta'ala who أشبعنا, who made us satiated. He filled our stomach. We were hungry, he gave us food. وأنعم علينا, and he bestowed his favors upon us. وأفضل, and he, Allah Ta'ala, bestowed upon us his great favors. Surplus, he gave us surplus. He gave us so much of ni'mat. So basically you made shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Whoever reads this dua, on the day of Qiyamah, he will not be questioned about this ni'mat of food that he was given. Otherwise, every morsel, everything you had, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. On the day of Qiyamah, all these ni'mat will be questioned regarding it. Then what did you do after gaining this ni'mat? Did you truly make Allah Ta'ala's shukr by means of your actions as well? Did you please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Oh, you ate the bounties and then you committed sin. Did you enjoy the bounties and become more appreciative of Allah Ta'ala's kindness and obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? So if you do this, inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah, you won't be questioned regarding that food. And very important, we should understand that this ni'mah that I'm enjoying is not from my kamal, my efforts and my skill and my intelligence. No. It is only from Allah. A person student might say, Mawlana, I studied so hard for the exam, that's why I passed. So it is my efforts. Okay, mashallah, your efforts. But who gave you that intelligence? Who gave you good health during that examination period to be able to sit and study? Who enabled you to sit at darkness? What, imagine if there was load shedding in those nights and you couldn't even have a candle, you can't even study, you had assignments to do. All these things we don't realize it. Who is the one behind everything? If I give a person a big amount of money as a donation. Okay, build your masjid. He goes and he makes the effort and he gets the builders and he gets the contractors and he's working himself also and he's working so hard and he's perspiring. But end of the day, he has to be grateful to me who I gave him the money. Without the money, he couldn't have done anything. Allah has given us all the strength and ability and capabilities and energy to do all those things. So, who is the one who is giving us? It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we should always understand that every ni'mat is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not my kamal whatsoever. It's not from me. It's only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lustful gazes have become an epidemic with consequences that are so far reaching to the point of crippling one's spirituality, weakening one's iman, sometimes even to the extent of losing one's iman. If we have the ability to look up, we also have the ability to look down or turn our gazes away. We open our eyes and we close our eyes. So what is it difficult to look down or look away from haram? So easy. And this is such a thing that it has become an epidemic. It is something that all of us go through. The moment you come out of the masjid, of course the night is nothing. During the day, some type of attraction. That is a time when you will see the true strength of your iman, the true connection you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Easy to say, I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm a very obedient person. But when you put to the test, like Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi used to mention, that, Ya Fata, la shuja'ata qabl al-harb. The youngster, before the war can take place, he is bragging and boasting and showing his strength. I'm so strong, I can fight like this and I can fight like that. When the war starts, then he escapes. So where's the bravery? Everything is gone. So like that, I can feel I'm a muttaqi person, I'm a very pious person. But when that woman comes in front of you, then you see where's your piety gone. So as exactly how we have the ability to look up, we have the ability to look down. Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, he is the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the last Hajj, he is so fortunate that he is mounted on the same camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as he's going, suddenly a woman comes there, and Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala begins to stare at her. A very beautiful woman, he begins to stare. He was a youngster. Rasulullah took notice of it, and he turned his whole face. Look that side. Lower your gaze. So this is what we need to do. This is after we build the noor of iman, noor of taqwa, dhikrullah. And when we really want to be obedient servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the tests not to disobey Allah. Allah said it's not like this. In Sharia, this is something very, very, it's a serious offense. Why? Because what's happened, if a person is not going to control his lustful glances, he's going to look more and more and more and more, and it does not stop there. What happens now, you're going to go further and further and further. It will lead you eventually to zina. Wala taqrabu zina. Allah says, do not even go close to zina. All those things that will take us to zina, we have to be very, very mindful of it and refrain from it. So sometimes people slip. If a person slips, what must he do? Tawbah istighfar. Ya Allah, I'm feeling terrible. Now imagine a person does not realize that this casting lustful glances is not something to worry about. He doesn't bother about it. So day and night, he just looking at every strange woman and every other person. So what happens? His heart will become hard. He becomes so accustomed and habitual to that filth that even in the presence of his wife also he'll be doing such things. In the presence of his children he'll be doing some things. Then he want to flirt. Then he want to build a contact with it. She's a married woman. Now what happens? Her nikah goes. His nikah goes. There's problems. That nikah also doesn't last. So much of things even. So Sharia tells us, do not cast lustful glances at haram. And inshallah, if we do it, then that's when we get the halawat of iman, the sweetness of iman. That when a person does not look at that haram for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then immediately, despite the chance he had, the opportunity, if nobody stopped him, nobody was going to shout him even. But he said, oh my Allah, from far he saw that very pretty woman there, and he could have seen her and enjoyed himself, But he applied that mujahada, that pressure on his soul. And 100% he'll feel some pain because the nafs wants that enjoyment. It wants that enjoyment. And you're not giving that enjoyment to the nafs. You're depriving it of that haram pleasure. So you're going to feel that pain. So like you're an angel, I'm not looking at the woman, so nothing. No, you are feeling that pain. Ish. As much as I want to see, I'm not seeing. Why I'm not seeing? I want to make my Allah happy. Allah will give you a feeling in your heart. A soothing feeling. It is the sweetness of iman coming into your heart. That's something that you cannot explain to any person what it is. May Allah grant it to me, grant to all of us. Sweetness of iman. Don't be for the whole day, you feel, for that few moments, you feel the sweetness of iman. And ulama have mentioned, Ibn Abidin Shami rahmatullahi, the great jurist has mentioned, that when a person gets the sweetness of iman in his heart, inshallah, he will die with iman. Why? Because Allah is so kind, when he gives you this enjoyment, the sweetness of iman, then he won't take away iman from your heart, that inshallah your khatama will also be with iman, and your last breath will be passing away with iman. So Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq, inshallah, to make amal. This is a simple advice to mashayikh. Sincere tawbah, istighfar. Try our level best to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We require the guidance of the ulama, sahbat of the salihin, sitting in the company, various things are discussed, guidelines are given. Sometimes we are doing something, we didn't realize that we're doing it incorrectly. Sometimes we're doing too much, it's not going to be beneficial. And they will say, no, do this, don't do this. You need to concentrate on this. Inshallah, all that will assist us and we will reach our destination with ease, inshallah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.